The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
You're listening to Chief Concerns.
Hear ye, hear ye. My fellow brethren and sistren of the Chief's Clan.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Please, just like, be cool for once. Thank ye.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Pew, 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 pew.
Welcome to Breland Watch. I'm ready. It's exciting. The Chiefs have a free agent cornerback in their dorms. I can say that. I can report that officially, or at least they did a few hours ago. And training camp is open. Football is here. Baseball season is over. Nothing else matters because the Chiefs are finally back. And so is Chief Concerns. Welcome in to a special edition of Chief Concerns here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, and I'm here with you for the next hour. And also, I'll be back doing more Chief stuff every weeknight with Chief Central here on 810. Every weeknight, it'll be the thing that closes out the live programming that we have on 810. So I'll be back even tonight from 10 to 11. I think it's basically 10 to 11 the rest of this week. But throughout training camp, you're going to get a full dosage of me, which may be for better or for worse in your own humble opinion. But you're going to get a ton of me, and most importantly, a ton of Chiefs coverage. So no matter if you happen to miss anything along the way throughout a day of Sports Radio 810 goodness, you're going to get the best of it, or at least the things that I think are most important at the end of the day. But the story of today isn't just Anthony Sherman's outfit. It's not just the veterans reporting to camp. It's that among the veterans who walked past the media into the dorms today was Bashaud Breland, the former Washington cornerback. He had an offer ready to go this free agency period, but he had an injury that kept him out. He didn't pass the physical, so he was just a free agent. And I feel like he's been slipping through the cracks. I've talked about him on a variety of shows, including this one, over the last couple of months. And I keep saying, you know, Bashaud Breland makes a ton of sense. He's a little bit of a veteran presence, but he's not on the other side of his prime necessarily. We've seen him be very good as recently as last year. And he continues to be available for kind of a bizarre reason that he couldn't pass a physical during the heat of free agency. Those are all reasons not to be worried about signing on to a guy. And so I thought it made a lot of sense, but honestly, I didn't think the Chiefs were going to do it. Whenever I heard that he was going to be coming to Kansas City for a visit, I was excited and a bit surprised. Because there have been many different places along the line here where the Chiefs have decided to just let their cornerbacks roll. You know, we're gonna let it happen. We've made our investments. We've decided what we're going to do. We're going to roll out there with Kendall Fuller, Steven Nelson, David Amerson, and then Brett Veach is going to talk us all into Will Redmond or whatever. Keith Reeser. And I've always been unenthused with that decision all the way back to the NFL draft and as recently as the supplemental NFL draft. I was talking about half a dozen different corners during the NFL draft, and I was talking about guys in the first round, talking about, you know, oh, can they trade up into this range and maybe go get whoever? Isaiah Oliver or Josh Jackson. Could they trade up for one of those guys? Will one of those guys maybe fall to them with their original pick? Oh, they've traded up. It's got to be four. Breland speaks. Weird. Huh. Okay, well, now surely with their next pick, oh, they traded up. Now it's got to be for a cornerback. It's Derek Nnadi. And not as an indictment over those players, but I've just been really surprised at multiple points this offseason when the Chiefs have not invested in a cornerback. So they don't draft a guy and then think, all right, well, they got to go bring in somebody, right? It can't just be David Amerson, who they signed before free agency actually fully opened because the Raiders had released him, and it triggered a bunch of weird, like, you know, you can sign a guy who's been released before this period, but if he's, you know, just contract winds up, you can't sign him until after this point, whatever. It was an early signing for Amerson. And whenever they signed him, I was like, all right, this seems fine. He's got some good tools, and I understand why he was a good corner, but then he's aged and been hurt, and I don't like that. I don't like betting on a cornerback unaging by a couple of years. And so I never thought that would be the only thing the Chiefs would do to address their cornerback position after trading away Marcus Peters and bringing in Kendall Fuller. And in the supplemental draft, we talked about Sam Beal a lot, who's out for the season now with a shoulder injury, which sucks for him and for the Giants. I mean, almost immediately, like almost as quickly as you could be injured, he was. But I was excited about the prospects of Sam Beal maybe ending up here because he helps you this year and also in the long term. Obviously, his injury changes all of that, but that's honestly where I was at the time. So, you know, maybe it's Sam Beal. Can we buy into Sam Beal? Nothing from the Chiefs. Maybe they would have drafted him in the third round. I don't know. But now you get to where we're at this point, and the Raiders and a bunch of other teams had interest in Bashaud Breeland, but the Chiefs got him in town, and he's been here for like 2 days. And now, I've been a little bit optimistic simply because the Chiefs are looking at him, but even then, I don't know, maybe they're just doing their due diligence. But now, I honestly, and this is not a guarantee, and it's not a report, but honestly, I can't imagine Bashaud Breeland not signing in Kansas City at this point. I was out at training camp today, and we were all in line. All the media was all kind of just around waiting for Anthony Sherman to walk by in his America singlet. Or Jordan Devey came through and like with something that I would wear, like cut off jorts and like a Hawaiian shirt and a mullet. I would probably pass on the mullet, but I've worn that shirt and jort combo 100 times. I nearly wore it today, basically. It was even blue on blue. But we're all just there waiting for guys to walk through and eventually to talk to Frank Zombo. And then a guy's walking by and we're all just kind of like, wait a second, is that? He was, hold on. Rewind. Earlier today, Breeland was out on the field at training camp. He wasn't playing, obviously. But he was walking around with Bob Sutton, the Chiefs defensive coordinator, which I imagine you know if you're listening to the show, but He was talking to Bob Sutton. He was walking around with, like, the director of player personnel or something. Well, that's really weird. Because if you're letting a free agent corner come in and learn a lot about your defensive scheme, which is something that Breeland should want to do, of course. Do I want to sign here? Well, let's find out and see if I like this system or not. But, hey, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to need a guarantee that you're not going to Oakland. You're not going to tell division rival what we're doing in our secondary right now. That's kind of bizarre. But you see him out there, and that's a really good sign. Now fast forward back to, what was it, about noon today? In St. Joe, a bunch of media standing out there, myself included. Vets are walking in. Guy starts walking up, and everyone goes, wait a second, is that? And then I heard somebody with the positive identification, I think it was Matt Derrick who said it first, said, yeah, that's Breeland. What? Wait a second, he's walking in, He was pretending to be on a phone call, by the way. He just was holding his phone up to the side of his face. It was a pretty good move. But he just walked in to the dorm room that all the vets are walking into. That feels like a guy who's going to end up on this team. It feels like a guy who's basically already on this team. So you can have some theories, by the way, about why it is that he's on the field and in the dorms. Even as Andy Reid is maintaining that nothing is a done deal. But as all that's going on, I think that there's got to be a logic in there somewhere, right? One thing that I had been thinking about, and then somebody else pointed out to me on Twitter earlier, Andrew, thanks to Andrew for bringing it up again. You can always tweet me at JB Briscoe, you know. Everybody drink. Do it. Mandatory. Tell me Twitter handle. At JB Briscoe, at JB Briscoe, at JB Briscoe. Now I just showed up in your bathroom mirror and you're drunk. But Andrew tweeted me and said, a possible, you know, reasoning for the delay on Breland, what if they're restructuring other contracts for cap room? This is something that had gone through my mind earlier today that I think makes a ton of sense. The Chiefs restructured Spencer Ware's contract, and that makes sense regardless, and I think eventually we'll probably talk about Spencer Ware some on the show today, because I think he deserves that conversation. I think we've largely forgotten about Spencer Ware, and we absolutely should not be forgetting about Spencer Ware. But maybe the Chiefs right now are in the offices and they say, hey, Brashad, here. I always add an R to his name every other time. Brashad, here's the contract. Here's what we're offering you. You're good with it? Yep, I'm good with it. Cool. Don't leave. Stay here. You're going to end up playing here. But we've got to decide if we're going to cut Charkandrick or Chris Conley, which are a couple guys, by the way, they could cut with like limited hurt. I don't think that they're going to cut Chris Conley, but he's just a guy that's at the top of my head. We got to figure out if we're going to, you know, move on from this guy or that guy, or we got to try to play a little bit of hardball with Alan Bailey to lower his cap number and give him some more guaranteed money, whatever it may be. So just hang out for a few days. We're going to get it done. You just stay here. Hold tight. Cool. That could be part of it. It also could just be them having a little quarrel over some really minimal details. The Chiefs are willing to give him 2 years and probably a 3-year deal where two of the years are guaranteed. Maybe he's fighting over what exactly that number is a little bit. Now, the thing about that that's kind of confusing is that that doesn't usually keep a guy in the room. That usually goes with a team giving an offer and a guy saying, all right, thanks, I'm going to go visit the Colts now. And Breland is still here. So it's a tremendously unique situation. I was really surprised to see him walk into the Vets' dorms today. I think if you think that that guy is going to end up on another team, you do not have him talking to your defensive coordinator on the field. You do not have him walking through practice, even though today it was pretty minimal. And you don't you don't bring him into your Vets' dorms. And earlier today, and you can go listen to this whole interview on the Sports Radio 810 Facebook page if you would like, facebook.com/sportsradio810. I was there filming this whole thing. It was a great conversation between Stephen St. John and head coach Andy Reid. And Stephen asked Reid about it, as he absolutely needed to, and Andy Reid said nothing in response, as he was absolutely never going to. But that interaction gave me a little bit of joy. Because it was, again, it was Stephen asking about this elephant in the room, and it wasn't Andy Reid saying, what elephant? It was like, the conversation basically, and please, go watch the whole thing on the 810 Facebook page, or listen to it tomorrow morning on the Border Patrol. I don't know exactly what time they're going to play it, but it just listen to the Border Patrol. Listen to the radio station that you're currently listening to. Just stay here. That feels like a fair request, right? But it was basically like, hey, I'm Stephen St. John here with Andy Reid. And Andy, I want to ask you, look at that elephant over there. Is that elephant staying? Andy Reid's response was, ah, yes, that's an elephant. Anyway, I'm really excited to work with Patrick Mahomes. That was basically how it went. But it wasn't Andy Reid saying, no, that's not an elephant. Or what elephant? Or no, that's a giraffe. I found all that interesting. Like, Andy Reid did say, you know, there's nothing official. He's just, you know, he's just hanging out. He doesn't get bored. It's here. He's here for his visit. Just here so he doesn't get bored. Just out on the field instead of being up in the room. It's also, it's been a long time. Like, it's not just like he got here today and then he was on the field for an hour and then in the dorms maybe he was staying there. It was like, There are so many factors all coming together here. So I really believe that at this point, if I had to put money on it, I'd say that Brashad Breland ends up being a Chief. And by the way, we are live and popping right now. If he does get signed, we will be the first place to tell you about it. Because Charlie is just constantly clinging to TweetDeck. And I'm clinging to TweetDeck unless I am clinging to my own Twitter timeline or on the Over the Cap Chiefs page. The one thing about the idea of them doing some cap restructuring, by the way, that's kind of interesting, is this says the Chiefs have $7.5 million in cap space right now. They would not use all of that in any situation because they want to be able to make some moves after guys get cut and stuff as the cutdowns begin to happen. But I do think it's a fascinating theory that maybe the Chiefs have a contract written down right now for Breland, and they just need to make a couple of moves on the front end to get some of that established. And man, I think he'd make this team better immediately. And I almost said so much better, and I don't want to overstate things. I talked to Seth Kizer over on Almost Entirely Sports over on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM. I'm over there every dang day, 2 hours. Also, you can listen to the podcast. I talked to Seth Kizer of The Athletic over there about Breland a little bit yesterday. I'm eventually going to call him Breland Speaks, by the way. I've never once had two Breelands be affecting my life at the same time before. I don't know if I know of any other Breelands ever. There are two on this team. So I'm eventually going to call him Breshad Breland Speaks. We have Dorian O'Daniel Sorensen and Breshad Breland Speaks. If you combine all of those players, I feel like the Chiefs would have a couple of just like Hall of Famers. I feel like that would be mortifying. Also, because they'd have like four arms and four legs. It would truly be just terrifying to look at. They just merge together. But I was talking to Seth over on the show on Tuesday, and I asked him about Breland. And he had an awesome analogy, which was that if you get, well, you know, let's say you get $100 from grandma at Christmas time, right? You're like, oh, sweet. This is awesome. Got $100 from grandma. But it's Christmas time, and if you've gotten $100 from grandma for the last 5 years, or, you know, something around it, maybe it's 80, maybe it's 120, you get $100 from Christmas at Christmas time from grandma. You feel good about it, right? But if you get $25 from grandma, like on Valentine's Day or something, grandma sends you a Valentine's Day card, puts a 20 and a fiver in there. Whoa! Grandma! Yeah! $25 from grandma for no reason. This is awesome! And Seth painted that picture to point out that that's where we're at right now. Right now, Christmas has come and gone. The draft and free agency were our Christmas for Chiefs fans, for NFL fans in general. And so, you know, Sammy Watkins is getting a grand at Christmas. Anthony Hitchens is getting $100 from grandma. Whatever. But right now, we're getting $20 from grandma on Valentine's Day or St. Patrick's Day or Arbor Day. And that's really exciting because we weren't expecting anything. You don't expect a card on Arbor Day. You don't expect to find your number two or number three cornerback on free agency on July 25th. But that's where we're at right now. It's basic. It's a card and $20 on July 25th. And so I think that's a really good analogy. But I also think that David Amerson is like $10 from grandma at Christmas. You're like, oh man, is that all? Is there another card coming in the mail? Maybe is it Josh Jackson? No? Okay. Is it Sam Beal? No? Okay. Well, thanks, grandma. Love you still. And so while I do think it's reasonable that we're looking at Breshad Breland and saying, well, I don't know. Maybe we're seeing a little bit more than he's actually going to bring. I think that's partially true. While I also think that he could immediately be the second best cornerback on this team, immediately, maybe by a long shot. It depends on what you think of Steven Nelson, honestly. And also, every time I get over into, anytime I get in front of an open microphone, I tend to express my concern about a team running out David Amerson for at least like 75% of their snaps, at least the time that they're in a nickel package or whatever. But I don't actually think that David Amerson was a terrible decision by the Chiefs. I just don't like where he's expected to fit. He's going to make, you know, less money this year than Anthony Sherman does. That's fine. He's in the, now also Spencer Ware's right below him, but Cam Irving, Dustin Colquitt, Xavier Williams, Jerkendrick West, Steven Nelson, Chris Conley. Those guys are all making about the same amount of money, right? For me, I don't mind David Amerson at that number. I mind him in that position. as a one-year prove-it deal kind of thing for a veteran corner who had shown good things a couple of seasons ago, but then he suffered an injury and suffered with just sort of like generally being old, an aging corner or whatever, but especially the injury. I don't mind at all spending a little bit of money on that guy, seeing what he can give you. Totally fine with that. My concern is that you're making that gamble, and you're gambling that he can be your second or third best cornerback, and I think that's a bad gamble. Now, if you're gambling that between Amerson and Nelson and Breland, that you can find a decent number two and number three corner from that group, now I'm listening, and I'm feeling a whole lot better about it. In fact, I want to compare it to another position where the Chiefs have already maximized on this. I think the Chiefs' group of wide receivers is analogous to the Chiefs' group of cornerbacks right now. Now, overall, the health of the wide receiver position is significantly better, especially now. But even before they signed Sammy Watkins, a group of Tyreek Hill and Chris Conley and DeMarcus Robinson is probably a little bit better off than Kendall Fuller, Steven Nelson, and David Amerson. But what the Chiefs did with the receiver group, that's a receiver group that's okay, right? We're coming into the season, we're pretty sure that Tyreek Hill's the number one receiver, right? Excited to see what he does with Mahomes, all that. Pretty sure he's the number one receiver. Chris Conley is your second guy. Maybe he can do it. But we don't know that he can for sure. Also, in this conversation, I'm eliminating Travis Kelce and Eric Berry. As Barry being a defensive back and Kelce being a pass catcher, eliminating them from the conversation as they offset a little bit. But so we're pretty sure that Hill's a number one. We think that Conley could be a number two, but we haven't really seen it yet. Coming off of an injury, I'm a little bit worried. Seen some highlights. I don't know. Then DeMarcus Robinson as your three, kind of interesting. He's fast. He's got a lot of the wide receiver tools that you like. Like him just fine as a player, as your number three wide receiver, a guy who's going to be getting a lot of playing time, and also the guy that if Chris Conley doesn't step up, the guy who's going to have to step up in Chris Conley's place, that's a lot to put on DeMarcus Robinson. So now let's look at that through the lens of the cornerback position. As much as I believe that Tyreek Hill is the number one receiver, I also think Kendall Fuller is the number one corner. We haven't seen him do it in exactly this context. We've seen him mostly do it from the slot. We've seen him do it on a team that had other good corners, Josh Norman and
Brashad.
I'm going to start calling him just Brashad so I don't do the Breland Speaks thing. Brashad. We've seen him do it on a secondary with other good corners around him that pushed him into the slot where he was tremendous. We haven't seen Tyreek Hill have a total number one receiver year. We haven't seen Kendall Fuller have a total number one cornerback year, but we're pretty sure both those guys are going to do it. Well, then second up, just as I'm not very excited about Chris Conley being your number two receiver, I'm not very excited about Steven Nelson being my number two corner. I've seen him do some good things, Conley and Nelson. I don't mind relying on them in some instances, Conley and Nelson. I'm good with all that. I'm good with them being a part of the team, but not as your second guy at an extremely important position. David Amerson and DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know what those guys are right now. Again, tools there. Ceiling there. Floor also down there. I don't know that DeMarcus Robinson's ready to be an NFL wide receiver. I don't know that David Amerson can be an NFL cornerback again. I don't know. So what do the Chiefs do at wide receiver? They went and got Sammy Watkins. Now, Watkins might be the number one receiver on this team now. For the sake of this analogy, we'll just make him the second guy. He's newer to the offense, whatever. But they went and signed Sammy Watkins. And so now you feel even better about Tyreek Hill as number one. Watkins is an incredible number two receiver, which wouldn't necessarily be immediately true for Brashad Breland. But it's a loose analogy. I feel like it's pretty good. And then now, Chris Conley as your number three receiver, DeMarcus Robinson as your four, that's crazy. Especially when you have Travis Kelce at tight end. So if you end up with Fuller at one, Breland at two, Nelson's your three, Emerson's your four, and you still are talking yourself into Will Redmond and Keith Reeser and Arian Springs and all those guys. But you know what? That's not half bad. You got yourself a secondary, and Eric Berry's over the top. Travis Kelce's playing tight end. Eric Berry's there at safety. You know what? I'll be darned. The secondary came together pretty nicely. That's where I'm going to be if the Chiefs do end up signing Bashaud Breeland. Who's Breeland? That's where I'm at this point. As excited as I am right now about the Chiefs receivers, I feel a very similar way about what the Chiefs could be doing in their secondary. I'm not 1,000% sure that they're going to be able to pull it off, but I right now, my money would bet on that they will be. 1,000%, no. 70%, yes. And I don't know that Nelson and Emerson are going to be even a good 3-4. I don't think that Breeland is an immediate number two as overwhelmingly positively as Sammy Watkins is. But man, I feel a whole lot better about it in that situation than I do with the Chiefs' current actual active roster of corners. I really want to see it. I think there's a very, very good chance that we will. And the defense as a whole, the team as a whole, starts looking a lot better if that is a move they are able to make. We usually don't get to do this because the show is later and everything, but right now, if you would like to talk about Breeland, if you want to talk about literally anything else going on at training camp, I've been out there the last couple of days, and I'm happy to talk about any of your questions or anything you may have. You can call the show. It's 913-3810-810, or if you tweet any questions at me, at JB Briscoe, or at SportsRadio810. Also, ideally, use the hashtag ChiefConcerns, because I got a whole bunch of shows in a whole bunch of different places, so know what show you're listening to right now. Hashtag it ChiefConcerns, tweet me or the station. I'll read your tweets at some point during the show. And if you don't call in, we'll talk about Spencer Ware. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes. Maybe we'll talk about Anthony Sherman. Probably talk about Patrick Mahomes. I'm Josh Briscoe. That's next on Chief Concerns.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
I've been standing up for the show so far today. Charlie just told me that I'm fired up right now. I'm a little bit. I'm also afraid of getting sleepy. I've had a lot of energy-giving substances today because I've slept very little the last couple of days. Got out to St. Joe pretty early this morning. And I'm going to be here pretty late tonight. So I'm trying to maintain the energy. I'm trying to maintain this raw, just like adrenaline shot straight to the heart. Training camp energy. Also, it is a little bit silly that we're this excited about practices, but man, I was a skeptic a couple days ago, and these last couple days, it's gotten me a little bit. It's here. I kind of get it.
The football offseason's so long, man.
And it is. It is, and we get the reprieve of the draft. We get a little bit of free agency. These last couple months have been hard, though. Like, again, not to just continually plug my own stuff, but I'm doing a bunch of shows in a bunch of different places. Over on ESPN Kansas City, the sister station, Sports Radio 810, also wherever you get your podcast, Almost Entirely Sports, there every day. Doing a show every day for through June and July, it's still fun. And it also gives us, a license to do more nonsense. But it is so easy to talk about the Chiefs whenever you're even whenever you even have a practice point to talk about. Or if Chris Conley gets hurt, literally anything like that, it gives you so much you can dig into. And for me, it's also because I know everything that's going on. I've got a Doob action figure of Nate Buchady currently sitting in front of me, who we'll be hearing from in about 20 minutes, 25 minutes here on the Sporting Kansas City Show on Sports Radio 810. But I got a Doob of Nate in front of me, so I'm thinking about, Nate could probably take any little thing that happens from a sporting game and talk about it for an hour. That's kind of, what the next show is. And so for me, whenever a leaf falls off of the grand oak tree that is the Chiefs organization, I am analyzing the film of that leaf falling down, and I got an hour to talk about things. So it is so nice to have training camp back. And also just look at that. Breeland's here. anything like that. Oh, it's so life-giving. And like I said earlier, we're going to be having a show at the end of the day, whatever that ends up being. Usually it's after sports night or baseball tonight post-game. Here on 810, I'm going to be back with another hour of what happened that day. It's the audio from training camp. It's what the players said. It's what the coaches said. It's what happened. It's what I think about whatever the thing is that's happening every day here on 810. Really excited to do that for you every night. To wrap up the whole day of programming on 810, I can't wait to do that. I'm going to do it tonight. I don't have to wait because we're doing this now. And then the first edition of Chief Central starts tonight at 10. Andrew tweeted with hashtag Chief Concerns at JB Briscoe. Thoughts on Breland Speaks picking off Mahomes yesterday. Steven talked to Breland Speaks after that practice yesterday. And it felt like I almost, was that last week? Oh, God, it was yesterday. Been a busy week. The drive to and from St. Joe, it creates an entire space and time. So anything separated by that drive feels like that many days ago. He speaks about it and speaks. I think it's said even that he didn't have a pick recorded since high school. But listen, everything that happens in training camp on the field can be bent in either way. It's, oh, this is great for Speaks, or, oh no, Patrick Mahomes can't stop throwing interceptions in training camp. Burn it down. You can take that in either direction, and that, especially whenever it's two guys that you this not equally want to succeed, but two guys that the team's invested a lot in that you're really rooting for. Patrick Mahomes is gonna throw another pick like that to a linebacker who drops back in coverage. That's something. Also, Mike tweeted at me and at Sports Radio at 10, saying the next flight to India was at 9:25 p.m., so he may be on his way to the airport unless someone has heard something. That's a good point. D. Sanders has tweeted and said, with him sticking around camp so long, is that an indication of a deal in the works? Was he supposed to be here that long? I don't know that's any sort of normal or that was scheduled. The thing for me, again, that's really strange is that I don't think if you think a guy could be leaving, in this case, obviously talking about Bashad Breland, if you think a guy could be going elsewhere, I don't know how you could want him to stick around your team for that long. If you've got him on the sidelines at a camp when you don't allow, there are whole portions of time when the media isn't allowed to shoot the practice, and they're hiding something somewhere. Even if it's a super weak definition of what it is to hide something. But you've got a little bit of secrecy, right? Especially in those huddles, those playbooks and stuff. Now, obviously, it's not all-encompassing because every time you cut a guy, that guy takes your the memory of your playbook with him, not the literal playbook itself, but he takes some knowledge with him. But it just seems like kind of a weird thing to do, to have him at your facility and around you for so long if you don't think that you are going to sign him. Again, at this point, it's not a guarantee, but I would be surprised if the Chiefs don't. I don't know that he was supposed to be here that long. If I vaguely remember, I think his visit with the Raiders, his Raiders visit happened. I don't think it was even close to this long. So I don't think I've heard of a Chiefs visit ever going this long for a relatively even high profile free agent. And again, this is happening in late July, which is surprising for a quote unquote big time free agent. I don't think this is normal. I don't know if this could have possibly been intended if Breland wanted to get on to the next destination and go see what Indy was going to be willing to offer him. I also don't know what the hangup would be. Again, the best theory at this point, I think, is that maybe they're trying to do some cap working right now, or they're willing to say, hey, we're going to give you this much money, but we need it to be this year, and this year, as opposed to, heavier here, lighter here, heavier the year. Whatever it is, that's the best guess I have at this point. And that maybe we'll see another salary cap move coming before a signing of Breland. It's just guesses, though, but really it seems so strange to me. And at this point, something that is this kind of bizarre insofar as the timeline and whatnot makes me think that it's going to be a positive thing. At the very least, it's going to be continuing to work towards a deal. I don't think either the team nor the player want to waste each other's time in this instance. If his physicals checked out, as I would imagine that he did, otherwise I think he'd be gone by now. If his physicals checked out, I think at this point it's got to be them ironing out the remaining wrinkles, whatever it is that's there for that. Speaking of the salary cap readjusting, the Chiefs got a renegotiated contract with Spencer Ware, which makes him a little bit more likely, I would say, to make the team purely from a salary cap perspective. He and Charcandrick West had extremely similar cap situations, and the Chiefs also have Kerwin Williams and Damian Williams and Darrell Williams. They got Williamses for days in that backfield, plus West, plus Ware, plus obviously Kareem Hunt. But for me at this point, the cap thing notwithstanding, not even being a blip on the radar, just knowing that his number is similar to Charcandrick West's, Spencer Ware is the next best running back on this roster behind Kareem Hunt. I don't know if it's all that close. And this is, again, something that we talked to Seth Kizer about, and I may even pull a snippet of this for tonight's Chiefs Central to give you a little more context on this and from Seth's perspective in an article that he wrote on The Athletic. But Spencer Ware, by being hurt last year, I think we just sort of forgot like what the plan was and how good he had been. The concern going into last year was that maybe he would take it so much playing time that we wouldn't get to see Kareem Hunt really try to stretch his wings. That was it, though. Like, the year before, Spencer Ware was an extremely good running back whenever he was getting the bulk of the carries. And at this point, I'm willing to say that more or less, and this is not definite, and maybe I should go through and actually really, like, put them in tiers, but it seems like the guys that are 12 to 25 in the NFL, as far as running backs, running back 12 to running back 25 are very similar. I don't want to say they're all the same, but they're very similar in talent. And so you may go, wait a second, I needed a guy to go to, because last time I talked about this, I went to like Isaiah Crowell, and that didn't feel quite right. But I think he had a really strong stretch for a little while. But hey, wait a second. Why was Isaiah Crowell great this year and he disappeared next year? Or even a guy like an older DeMarco Murray. Wait a second. He was great here, not great here. LeGarrette Blount. Wait a second. He looks great. Why don't other teams want him? There are a whole bunch of guys. And by the way, I think Spencer Ware might be better than all the guys that I just mentioned, if you're going to look at an older DeMarco Murray, which is just a person I invented, apparently. But if you're going to be looking at those guys in that range, I think they largely are beholden to their surroundings, right? The run blocking in front of them. What are they asked to do in their system? Can they actually carry the load? And I think the guys that are at the top half of that group, and, you know, 12 to 18, something in that range, 12 to 20 maybe even, those are the guys that actually can carry the load when they're asked to, but they're not going to look like Ezekiel Elliott. And so, you know, the top 10 or 12 running backs in the league are guys that are able to be workhorses, and 12 might be too many, honestly, because it's Ezekiel Elliott and Leonard Fournette and Todd Gurley and those types of guys. There are other names I could mention, but that's, you know, the class of those guys. And then maybe there's even another little tier below that. Maybe it's, you know, 6 through 12, where it's Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara or whatever. But then you've got Mark Ingram, who last year with the Saints looked great, right? The Ingram and the Ingram Kamara backfield last year was overwhelming. Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman in Atlanta have been able to latch onto this a little bit. But Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, I think, are a tremendous comparison because Kamara and Hunt both came into their first NFL season last year, and Kamara ended up winning Rookie of the Year over Hunt, even though Hunt had more rushing yards. And Spencer Ware and Mark Ingram, I think, are comparable enough by way of talent and usage and all that. Spencer Ware is probably a better pass catcher, but I don't know the perfect in and outs of Mark Ingram's game. But whenever Mark Ingram was asked to be the guy, he had some flashes, he had some games, he had some moments that make him look like, oh, you know what, man, he's really cool. Maybe he's Ezekiel Elliott, and he's not. He's not Adrian Peterson. He's never going to be. Whatever Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara are asked to be the running backs plural for that team, which is captained by Sean Payton and Drew Brees, but is in some ways, I would say, covering up for the gaps left in Drew Brees' aging game. Whenever that's how they're asked to play, and what they're asked to do together, it became overwhelming last year. Like, the Saints running offense was a story in a way that no one's running offense is ever a story in 2018. And for the Jags, it was, because they had Leonard Fournette and their quarterback was Blake Bleeping Bortles. So I look at all of that and go, you know what? That's what the Chiefs can have. They've got a guy on par with Alvin Kamara and a tremendous young running back. And they've got a guy like Mark Ingram, who on his own can look like a number one running back, but man, he is best suited. If he can be your second guy, you're running a comedy offense, especially now for the Chiefs. Like, I cannot imagine being a Chiefs fan and legitimately not feeling excitement about this offense. Because maybe you've got all the concerns in the world about Patrick Mahomes. Maybe you are the most pessimistic Mahomes guy. Maybe you're terrified of what he's going to do. Maybe you think he's going to throw 30 interceptions. I don't think it is fathomable to think this offense isn't going to be extremely good this year. And I want to be conservative, and I want to be worried. I want to be pessimistic and cynical, because that's what I always have been as a Chiefs fan, and it's always been rewarded with truth. But this year, there's just too damn much. Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware, constantly surrounding your young, firearmed quarterback. You've got a top five backfield with those two running backs together. You've got a top five duo of receivers with Hill and Watkins. You've got a top two tight end. This offense is so packed with weapons. I don't know how you can't be excited about it unless you think that Patrick Mahomes is just going to waste it. And if you think Patrick Mahomes is going to waste it, then you think Andy Reid is going to waste it while also using Patrick Mahomes as the conduit there. And I think that is a ridiculous thing to assume. This offense has fire, and I find that absolutely thrilling. This is Chief Concerns, by the way, on Sports Radio 810. We're not usually on it this time. We are now, though, and hopefully we'll be on this time more often. I don't know. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. I'm just happy to be here. And tonight and every weeknight throughout training camp, you will hear Chief Central. Basically, it's very similar show, but with more audio from training camp specifically. So anything you may have missed today on any of these other shows, maybe an interview here or there, also my thoughts on some things, I'll talk about Breland again tonight. You can come in to Chiefs Central, which tonight is from 10 to 11 p.m. here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe, by the way. You can tweet the show at JB Briscoe, at Sports Radio 810, hashtag with whatever show it is that you're listening to, and I'll get to it eventually. Don't rush me, though. Maybe tonight it's going to take me until 10 o'clock to get to it. That's when the next show starts. How can you not be excited? It's impossible. Charlie, you don't look very excited.
I'm so excited.
Be more excited.
Chief Concerns.
Pew, 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 pew.
My chief concern still is why we don't know if the Chiefs are going to end up actually signing Rashad Breland. I think they're going to. I want them to. But it's not official yet. And I am a little nervous. It just seems so strange that he would be in the building this long and not at least be assuming that they're going to get a deal done. I think it's going to happen still. But I would love it if it would happen tonight. I just don't know that it's going to. There are a whole bunch of things that you can be keeping an eye on as we head into training camp proper tomorrow. And tomorrow is like the big first day and everything. It's an afternoon practice and all that. And there are lots of places you can look. And we'll eventually talk, I am sure, about the developments at offensive line and everything. But sticking with the larger theme of today, which is the secondary, the thing that I am really excited to be taking a look at is what exactly the formations look like among these cornerbacks. It gets a little easier to figure out if Breland is in the mix, but one way or another, even if he's just simply not practicing tomorrow, but really one way or another throughout all of training camp, I want to see where Kendall Fuller is lining up whenever they can hit a little. I want to see if he gets bumped into the slot whenever they're in a nickel package. I want to see if there's a leader as far as who's in the slot most often. When is Dorian O'Daniel there? When is Armani Watts there? Like, it just looking from, you know, thumper guy to speed guy or vice versa. Is it going to be Steven Nelson most of the time? Is it going to be Fuller most of the time? How often is Amerson playing? Who's the next guy up? Because there are a bunch of names that right now are really just names to us. And it's some of the ones I just said, but it's also the guys that Brett Veach brings up every once in a while, being Will Redmond, Keith Reeser. These are just, it's just a bunch of dudes at this point, right? One of those guys is going to make the team and make an impact, at least one of them. That's the thing that I'm looking for right now. Where do those guys get moved? Where do those guys end up in the depth chart? And how does it change between tomorrow's practice and the first, second, third preseason game? How do all of those things evolve? That's my question now. That's the biggest question now. Also, if you haven't seen them yet, go to the Sports Radio 810 Twitter page and look at what Jordan Devey and Anthony Sherman were wearing today. The moment that I feel like I need to I need to have a moment of sort of just asking for forgiveness of the moment that Anthony Sherman came out in this USA like singlet, right? And everybody else had just crowded around him. And I was trying to get a good picture of the pattern and everything before everyone else had tweeted it out already. Because Steven was there getting the audio, and I had the freedom to take some more pictures. Freedom, America, right? Did I do it right? And as everyone was crowded on in front of him, I just went, oh, I'm just going to scoot around. And I took a picture from behind Anthony Sherman, and then I realized that I had just taken three or four nice shots of Anthony Sherman's rear, basically. And I just... I didn't mean to take a picture of his butt. It was just a part of the picture. Arguably the central focus. Ideal? No. No, it wasn't. But, I mean, it happens. And also, I got it out on Twitter, and that felt like a victory, right? It was fun, though. It was a fun day out at camp today. And we'll have... I think we got people out there every day, every day, every day. All day, every day, 24/7. Steven's out there every day, all sorts of stuff. So keep an eye on all the 810 socials. We got stuff out there, including Andy Reid talking to Steven, which we shot earlier today. That's on the Facebook page. And we're also going to have a video with all of the good shots of Devi and Sherman, and also me and Steven just having a grand old time. That'll be up on the Facebook in a while as well. Sporting KC shows up next, and it's Sports Night, and then I'm back with Chief Central here on Sports Radio 810.